I guess this is a fantasy book.
Oh, yes.
But it is also a mystery because there's a murder in it. So you haven't really strayed too far from your murder mystery.
I do like to kill people, yes. Maybe a character flaw, I'm not sure. It is. I actually would describe it as more an historical fantasy. And I mean, you know, just because I do kill somebody, and there is a little bit of a mystery element to this, doesn't mean that it's a mystery. A lot of different genres have, you know, this kind of thing in it. Although, I must admit, when I was working on this book at first, for the first 50 pages, I thought I was writing a mystery. And I had a conversation with somebody from Turnstone that I'm kind of friends with, and we were talking about it, and she said, oh, send me the 50 pages, I'd like to read that. And I sent it to her, and she phoned me up and she said, Karen, you're writing a fantasy. And I thought, what do you mean? But I'm a mystery writer. And it was very interesting, because as soon as she said that, it freed up my imagination, and all of a sudden I wasn't constrained, you know, by trying to be absolutely historically accurate. And it was wonderful. And all kinds of weird and wonderful things happened after that.
Let's talk about the central character, because he's somebody from myth that,
yes,
if you are a big fan of Greek myths, and and they're having a resurgent, because my little niece is, like, she's 12.
Oh, yes.
Huge.
Oh, the Rick Riordan books?
Yes.
Yes.
She's,
yeah,
crazy about, she cannot get enough Greek myth stuff.
Yes. This is for when she's older.
Yes, she's not quite ready for the body stuff.
No,
in this.
No. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But yes, I did start with a myth. And you know, the whole genesis of the book was, for some reason, I was sitting there one day thinking about the myth of Tantalus. And in the Greek myths, Tantalus was a king of Lydia. He was half mortal, half divine. He was a son of Zeus's by a mortal woman. And his story is the classic case of hubris. And for various reasons, he begins to think that he's better than the gods. And there are several versions about what he does, but in sort of the best known version, he takes his son Pelops and kills him and chops him up, throws him in the stew pot, and serves him to the gods for dinner. Well, the gods, recognizing what's in the stew pot, you know, are horrified, and they punish him with everlasting thirst and hunger, and he's unable to assuage either need, which is where we get our verb to tantalize from. Pelops is scraped back into the pot and remade, and they have to give him an ivory shoulder because Demeter, for various reasons, accidentally ate part of the stew. And Pelops, in the myths, goes on to have all of these other adventures, but I didn't really find that all that interesting. And I was thinking about him one day and thinking, you know, geez, what would that do to you? And wouldn't that make an interesting character? I mean, here's a guy with a proverbial chip on his shoulder. And so I started thinking about this. And I thought, you know, it'd be pretty interesting to write a story about this poor fellow who had this happen to him. And the gods would feel kind of guilty about it and would try to help him out and, of course, just totally bugger up the works because that's what they were best at. So for a while, I was tossing around various ideas. What am I going to do? You know, I thought maybe I'd make him a student of Archimedes. You know, that way I could get into some of the really interesting inventions of the ancient Greeks. And it just didn't really seem right. And I was leafing through a book called The Life of Greece by Will and Ariel Durant. And in this, there was one line that I read, and it said, in ancient Athens, in classical Athens, there were no restaurants. And when people wanted a special dinner, what they would do was hire the services of a professional chef, who was usually a foreigner. Right there, it was just like, eureka. You know, here's my guy. You know, food for the gods. That's what he was, and that's what he does. You know, it was wonderful. It was an awesome moment for me, and all of a sudden I thought, oh, that just makes sense. You know, of course he would come out of the stew pot with this new talent for the culinary arts, and wouldn't that be kind of funny? And at that point, this is a few years ago, the whole celebrity culture, their celebrity chef culture thing was very interesting to me. It's a very strange phenomenon. And I just thought, you know, wouldn't that be interesting to put those two together? And what would that look like, a celebrity chef culture in ancient Greece? And out of all of these musings was born Food for the Gods.
It's a whole bunch of different things. I mean, it all, weirdly, yes. the stew of this book tastes great. I mean, all works together.
Yes.
I mean, which is because there's comedy, mystery, part cookbook, part you learn a lot about gods. It's also yes. a travel book for Athens.
Yes, for ancient Athens, anyways. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I wanted to do was really get across what it was like back then. When I was in university, I had the most wonderful Greek history professor. I've actually dedicated the book to him. And he was just a marvelous man, very witty, and he really brought classical Athens to life for us. You know, he didn't just tell us about who won the Battle of Salamis and why. You know, he would tell us about Alcibiades and the incident of the Theban dancing girls. You know, and it was wonderful. And so when I wanted to write this book, I knew that that's sort of the flavor that I wanted to bring to it. But the problem is, when you're writing historical fiction, how do you get across, you know, these sort of strange cultural things that are very foreign to us without slowing down your narrative? And so I came up with the idea of having these interstitial chapters. And, you know, there are things like advertisements, excerpts from self-help scrolls, you know, excerpts from cooking scrolls, you know, all of these weird and wonderful things. And I really had a good time with that.
They totally cracked me up. Just it's a great romp and a lot of fun. And I'm probably going to steal your laptop so I can get 2/3 of the sequel.
Excellent. Well, thank you. You'll be the first one to get a copy of Craig and Bay.
The book is Food for the Gods, an Epicurean Epic. I've been speaking with the author Karen Dudley, and Food for the Gods, published by Ravenstone.